we're up to Perek Lamed Hey. We have to finish a few Rashis. We're up to the part, the Mochama, the death of Yoshiyahu. The Mochama against Paru Nechol in Megidoi. And that Pasuk appears Pasuk Yutes. We're up to Lamed Hey Pasuk Yutes. Before we do that, we have to do some Rashi's. We didn't finish the Rashi's. A very long Rashi. Okay, let's go back to Pasuk Yutes. Okay. So Pasuk Yutes. Lanase Pesach Kamohu. It says here that it was not a Pesach. The Klal Yisrael did not observe. Right. Pesach, the Karm Pesach, since the times of Shmuel Hanavi. If you look back in Pasuk Chav Ches, V'lenase Pesach kamo b'Yisrael mimei Shmuel Hanavi v'chol malchei Yisrael lo yosu k'pesach asher osu Yoshiyahu v'akoyinim alavim v'chol Yehuda v'Yisrael hanimtza v'yesha yushlamim. Not observe. Thank you. Okay. This is the Iyov?
What?
This is the Iyov?
Iyov.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, so we have here a pasuk which reveals to us that Klal Yisrael, the time of Yoshua, when they got together, they observed the Karm Pesach. There was no such commemoration of Karm Pesach, a public offering, since the time of Shmuel Hanavi. It's safe in Melachim, the same exact event as recorded. It does not say Shmuel Hanavi. It says there from the time of the Shoiftim. I don't know the pshat. I don't know what the difference. Why in Ezra and Nehemiah, when they in hindsight writing back what happened, they're focusing on specifically Shmuel instead of the Shoiftim. But it's a very interesting difference, discrepancy between the two. There are many discrepancies, many differences. But that is a very significant difference. We mentioned in Shmuel, then we mentioned the Shoiftim. Now, how could it possibly be that they did not commemorate, did not observe a Karm Pesach in all of these years? We're dealing with more than 400 years. More than 400 years of what's going on. So Rashi first presents what he heard from his teachers, and Rashi rejects it, and he tells another pshat. So what's the first pshat? Symbol, Rashi, Yidches, Planasa Pesach Kamohu, Bimolochim, Beis, Pasach of Gimel, Ksiv, Kiloy Nasa, Kepesach Hazem, Mimei HaShoftim. Now, Miyoyim Shemech Lekut, now what's the Shoftim? So he's basically saying that after the Shoftim came the kings. Who are the kings? David, Shlomo. But that was a long time. David was king for 40 years. And Shlomo was king for how many years? Also 40 years. 40 years. So both two kings, 40 years. David was 33 and 7, then David and Shlomo was 40, 80 years. So for some reason, we're not taking those 80 years into consideration, though, for whatever reason. And we're focusing only what happened after the death of Shlomo, when Rechavim came to power, and the Malchus split between Yeravim ben Nevat and Rechavim. And once there was a split in the Malchus, so then the entire Klal Yisrael did not come together to Yerushalayim to Karm Pesach. Only two Shvatim, Yehudim and Yamin, whereas the other 10 Shvatim, they worshipped idols in Basel and Dan. That's what Rashi says. That's why it's the last time Klal Yisrael offered a Karm Pesach together, all 12 Shvatim, was the time of Shmuel. Shmuel, it says there, he gathered everyone to Mitzvah. He made everyone to do tshuva and come to Mitzvah. And they all observed in Shiloh, they all observed the Karm Pesach. Pesach was not, there was no Beis HaMikdash then. It was done in Mishkan Shiloh. Let's see. Ksiv ki lo nasa ka Pesach hazeh b'mei shayftim yom shenechleku Yisrael l'shnei mamlachos. From the time that the Klal Yisrael was divided, from the time 80 years after the first two kings, the two kingdoms, shesaru aser sashvatim yal malcha Yehuda, when the 10 shvatim departed from the kings of Yehuda, vayish vayashlitu aleihem melech levadam. And they appointed for themselves their own malchus, their own king, starting with the Yerovam ben Nevat. Shekol hayam shahayu l'shnei goyim, all those years that they were two separate nations. Hayushev Yehuda ben Yamin oisim pesach la'ashem Hashem b'Yerushalayim. The two Shvatim, Yehuda ben Yamin, they offered a carbon to Hashem in Yerushalayim. Ve'elu l'shem avoidas koychavim b'beistel uvedon. And the other 10 Shvatim offered carbonal sacrifice to idols in Beis El and Don. V'dover zeh lo ira kol yimei ha-shoftim. This did not happen during the times of the Shoftim. Why? Shenech l'kul Yisrael, because it did not happen. The word shenech l'kul is going back on low. You have to take the world over to a more sophisticated type of writing because they did not get divided. They were not divided. It did not yet happen that they were divided. They only had one shefet, one leader. And each shefet would force the people to follow the ways of Hashem. It says in the pasuk, Hashem was with the shefet, and Hashem saved the Jewish people from their enemies. And during that period of time, the 10 Shvatim joined Yehuda and Binyamin, and they went to Shiloh. Everyone offered one communal Korban Pesach. Pesach l'shem Hashem. Oh, so that was the good old days. So since that time of the Shoftim, Shmuel and the Shoftim, then there was never such a time. Uchapesach hazeh lo nase kol yimei malchei Yisrael v'Yehuda yachat. The key word here is the word yachat. Those three letters, oisim pesach. Aval, but now, during the time of Yoshiyahu, after the Malchus of Yisrael came to an end with the Golos of the Aser Sashvatim by Sancheriv, and now Yirmiyahu went to go retrieve whatever he could from the Aser Sashvatim, they all came back. Aval, bimei Yoshiyahu, shekvar posak Malchus Yud Hashvatim, umeshehichser Yirmiyah Yud Hashvatim, Yirmiyah went and he retrieved the 10 Shvatim, loyhim lichu alehim oid melech. They did not reinstate the Malchus of Yisrael, but instead they all pledged their loyalty to the king of Yehuda. Ela Yoshiyahu molach aleihem v'asu kulam pesach yachad l'shem shamayim v'yushalayim. V'zehu, that's what it means in this pasuk. Loi nasa ka pesach hazeh l'hashem v'yushalayim. Okay, so this is, Rashi presents this interpretation that the key word is yachad. The entire Klal Yisrael came together with one melech, and they had one king, one malchus, they offered one Korban Pesach, and the last time something like this happened was during the time of Shmuel.
He says it in his own, right?
Well, he's giving up interpretation. He's not telling us, well, from further, the next few words of Rashi, it appears that this is not his interpretation. He's quoting, he's making mention of what he was taught. And now he goes on to say, Pishron said this interpretation, Mat'eh Osi Me'od. It disturbs me. It disturbs me very much. I do not like this interpretation. Obviously, if it's his own interpretation, he would not say it. Obviously, he's saying this from what he has heard. V'loy nirali. This interpretation is not correct. Nihi nami dehichser Yirmiyahu aser sashvatim Yoshiyahu molech aleihem b'Yushalayim. And now they yachad, they're all unified as one group. Heach yochel liyah shelo osu kepesach hazeh kol yimei hashavtim uvimei Shmuel haroya uvimei David u'Shlomo shahayu Yisrael shvim al admasam shalvim. They were at peace and tranquility. Now let's go slow. Certainly during the time of David and Shlomo, those 80 years, certainly there were korbanos that were offered, one, they were yachat. And even now here's the difficult part. He seems to be saying, you have to read very carefully what it says here. Go back to the pasuk Yidchas. Look at the text. Pasuk Yidchas. V'lenase Pesach kamohu b'Yisrael. Our Girsa does not have Kippesach. It does. V'lenase Pesach, the very little translation means even during the time of the Shoftim, there was no such thing. It doesn't mean that v'lo nas, it was never done, Pesach kamohu, the Yisrael, mimei, from the days, meaning even during the days of Shmuel, it was not something like this. You have to, seemingly Rashi is learning, according to his first interpretation, that the last time of Pesach was done yachat, to the degree that it was done during the time of Yoshua, was even before Shmuel. Because even the Pasuk literally says it was not done, the Pesach like this, mimei, from the days of Shmuel Hanavi. Yeah, not really clear. I'm not really sure.
But for Razak adds to Rashi, I mean, he says the same. He says that a lot of people that ate the Korban Pesach ate the Tumah.
Oh, that was a Chizkiyahu.
Right.
He's coming to point that Radak is coming to point that, what about, we learned not so long ago, only a few programs ago, that in the time of Chizkiyahu, it says, Beferish, they did offer a Korban Pesach, everyone came Kamshal. So there ate a betuma. There
also,
and
it wasn't ba'achdus because he had the
It was Pesach. It was they were not allowed to be ma'amar the shon that we discussed yesterday. But the Radak mentions it was betuma and Chizkiyahu was mevakeh from Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael for eating it betuma, even though the pasuk there does say that there was never such a thing. So that's out.
Yachad, if like you say, reminding us about the they ate it
because there was a controversy. The controversy if so you can be ma'amar wasn't yachad, and also he brings in the Radak or maybe someone else brings down is that there were people when Chizkiyahu sent messengers, not everyone was receptive to his messengers. He sent messengers to the far corners of he tried to now bring under his wings the Aser Sashvatim, the pockets, the Oilis of Shevet Ephraim, of Shevet the Aser Sashvatim, and not everyone was receptive to come back and return to Yerushalayim. So it was not fully Yachad, not physically, and it wasn't the Tahara and the Ketikun like we have at the time of Yosha. But Rashi is picking up on this point that, what about those 80 years? Those 80 years of David Shlomo, certainly it was Yachad. And even during the time of Shlomo and the Shoftim, there was also Yachad. So what is the, how can you learn?
Unity as reunification.
Oh, that's a different shot. It's a different shot.
Okay.
What he's saying, his main focus is Yachad, and he says one more time those words. V'zeh matali mo'id v'lo niroli nihinam dehichsu yirmi yaseh shvatim yoshio malach aleim yoshlam hilch yochad yoshlo ha'osu kepesach hazeh kol yimei ha'shaiftim. How can you say such a thing? That they did not do such a thing all the days of the shaiftim uv'yimei shmul haroya uv'yimei David u'shlomo sh'yishol shrimal mosim shlalvim u'shketim lo'hayelohem ele melech echad v'hayelibim lo'shanayim. Can't be. There was a significant period of time when it was Yachad. Ach kach pisroinoi, v'kach posar li Rabbi Eliezer bar Mishulam zecher tzadik levracha. Another pshat. The pshat is it never happened that the king sponsored the Karban Pesach. Okay, get a sponsor. Okay, it was Yoshio care.
This is very interesting that the Rashi uses Zatzal, because Zatzal was not used so far.
Zatzal, it could be. You have to know who it was put inside. Who put it in? Okay, the whole Rashi and Divrei Hayamim with you call Peirush Hamiyuchas the Rashi. It's not really Rashi. It's okay. Who put it here? Yeah, I don't know. So you have to. The Kach Pasir Rabbi Yelaz Rabbi Yav Shmuel Zatzal V'loy Nasa Pesach Kmo Me'olam Sheyitin Hanelech VeHasarin Behemoy Slip Sochem De Sipukam. That it was provided, it was sponsored. Bokar l'shalmich agiga, they provided the animals for the Karban Pesach, and bokar for l'shalmich agiga, v'tziva l'alevim l'hochim l'chem l'shloch l'chol ish v'ish l'fi acholoi, and the levim were the ones that prepared the carbon, they flayed it, they did all the hard work. Normally, who does all the hard work? Who does the flaying and the roasting? It's done by the ba'olim, the owners, the Israelim. But it appears the Israelim, they either did not want to do it, or in order to encourage them to come, everything was a shulchan aruch. Everything was done for you. Just show up. Show up and someone will pay for your Pesach and someone will make all the preparations. The last time something like this happened was, it never happened. This was Rashi saying. Suddenly this never happened, even during the times of the Shaiftim. This is what is unique about this Karban Pesach.
Ravak says from here's a raya that they had a sing. They said, how are
both? Oh, that's going back what we learned yesterday. Maybe you have a raya because that they sang the Mishoirim. The Mishoirim. That even by a Karban Pesach, the Levim were singing when the Karban was being offered. Because according to the strict reading of the Torah, you only sing when you bring Karban Oila and you bring a Karban Musaf, the Karbanos Tzibur. Where do you find that you bring that you sing when you bring Karban Pesach? So this is a Makar that there was such a thing of Shira during the Karban Pesach. Now it's not Mukhruch, this is the Mechiv, this is the Halach, you have to. Could be this was a hider. It's a hider. It could be that he wanted to do it in a special extra dosage of kedusha. Okay, now, but one thing that comes from this is the way the Rashi appears to be learning is that he interprets the pasuk to mean that the such a pesach was not done even during the times of the shoftim. That for sure not. Shlomo, because it says here Shmuel, it says here that it was not a Pesach like this. Mimei Shmuel.
That doesn't answer the question. In what respect was it different?
So that's what he's saying, according to the second interpretation, that there never happened such a thing in the history of Klal Yisrael that the king and the Sarim sponsored the cost of the Karban Pesach. Well, and right. The effort, the labor.
There are several ways you could answer that question.
What do you mean?
What made this Pesach different than all other?
Yeah, so that's what he's saying. It was sponsored. It was paid for. It was paid for. He did not need to buy the animal. Number two, the work, the labor was done on your behalf. The Kohen, the Levim, they made all the preparations. And such a thing never happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. But that's not the way you read the Pesach at face value, especially the way it says in Sefer Melachim, is such a Karban Pesach was done at the time of the Shoftim, and there was a break. And it never happened again, such a thing, until 400 years later, the time of Yoshiyahu. That's not the way you read very carefully Rashi. Rashi does not learn the Pasuk like that. He learns the Pasuk that it was not done even during the times. It never, ever happened. Certainly never happened during the 400 years of the Bayis Rishon, but it did not even happen during the time of Shmuel and the Shoftim.
Other Rabbah, you see Pesach cost more than a whole year.
That was the term. People were recovering from Avodah Zarah, from Menashe and Amon. So people had to be you had to go and tell them it's not going to cost them. Once you tell them it costs money, that's a turn off. Okay, so you have to start by giving away, to marketing. You have to first give a free gift.
Most
and get there.
Basic,
What?
Most yeshivas close.
Can afford.
Yeah, but Americans are out for years. They stopped doing it. It used to be open for Pesach for Russians and Ethiopians.
Yeah.
They would hold Siddurim.
And now, America's
dormitory rooms. Now they haven't done it.
Why? Because of expense, money.
And someone needs to organize it.
Uh-huh.
They had the dormitory rooms available for families.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Now, there's another thing that's about this actress aspect. Karban Pesach. The overarching theme of Korban Pesach is, in fact, Achdus.
Right.
And
he's bringing everyone together.
And it couldn't be more fitting a time for that Achdus than the Korban Pesach.
Right, right. This was a new beginning. That's what we learned. We learned with Chizkiyahu, and now we learn with Yoshiyahu. It was, on a very similar level, it was a new beginning. He found the Sefer Torah, and he realized that things are not good. Hashem wants to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He consulted with Huldah, and she told him things are not good. So he cleansed Eretz Yisrael from Avodah Zarah, and he brought everyone into a new bris. Atem nitzav hayom kulchem. This was part of the process of rebuilding, reconstructing Klal Yisrael. And just like when we left Mitzrayim, the way we formed as a nation was with the Karban Pesach, he's once again renewing our relationship, renewing our vows to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by offering a communal Karban Pesach, and he was successful. Okay, so this is how the way Rashi learns. Now, Rabbi Eisenman, he has a very interesting shot. He explains with what we learned yesterday, that according to many Mepharshim, Yoshiyahu's main role viewed himself as preparing Klal Yisrael for Golus. So it's a very novel approach. It's not like a lot of Farshim, they find a lot of Ramazim to this idea. Yoshiyahu, it was very clear to Yoshiyahu, after everything that he did, because the Pesukim can make it very clear, he searched out Hashem with his full heart, he cleansed Klal Yisrael from Avodah Zarah, but yet he still found the Sefer Torah open to the Teichacha, revealing that it's going to be a Korban. At that moment in time, he realized that his role as king is to prepare Klal Yisrael for the inevitable, for Golus. And everything that he did was with that thought in mind. And like we learned, he told them to take the Aron, put the Aron in Geniza, and now the role of the Kohanim is going to be different. It's not going to be focused on the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be focused on serving the people. Serving the people without a Beis HaMikdash. What we'll need teachers, Melamdim, and Jewish leaders of high quality and caliber in Golos. Now, that thought in mind, that was the purpose of the Karban Pesach. The purpose of the Karban Pesach was to bring the attitude of the Karban Pesach was to bring Klal Yisrael together to prepare them for the future Golos. The last time such a thing happened when there was a Karban Pesach that was that was offered for the purpose of changing the mindset of Klal Yisrael to a different role was the time of Shmuel. Why? So this is what Eisen explains. This is his idea. It's elaborates. Very beautiful idea. The time of Shmuel, what was Shmuel's legacy? Shmuel brought Malchus to Klal Yisrael. Shmuel anointed Shaul, and then he anointed Shmuel. Until the time of Shmuel, David. Sorry, Shaul and David. Until the time of Shmuel, who were the leaders to Shoftim? And what was the hallmark of the Shoftim? Ish hayasha be'ein of Yaseh. Everyone did whatever they wanted to do. There was a degree of hefkeres in Klal Yisrael. You do whatever you want to do. You know, there's no central authority. Maybe they thought at that time it was a Milo because they were at such an exalted spiritual level. They don't need someone telling you what to do. But there were problems. The Klal Yisrael, when they slided, when they worshipped idols, Hashem brought an enemy upon Klal Yisrael, and then they appointed, or a shofet just naturally came, rose, a leader presented himself, and he saved Klal Yisrael. And then what happened? The leader faded out in the sunset. No more leader. And then what happened? They went back to their old ways. Ish hayasha be'ein of Yaseh. Do whatever you want to do.
Wasn't they continuous?
Exactly. Exactly. No, there was not. There was not a... That's exactly the point. That's exactly what he explains. There was not a continuous... There is no himshach. There is no continuity. There's a shofet. And the shofet serves a role of taking us out of a tzara. And when the tzara is over, we don't need you anymore. The shofet fades out. There's no Yerusha. There's no leadership. There's no Kavod HaMalchus. That's it.
But Gidon, you see, they came asking for.
Because they had a tzara.
Right.
They had a tzara. But once the tzara is over, it's over. We don't need you anymore. Goodbye. And that's it. And then everyone, Ish HaYosha Bein of Yaseh, then they begin to sink lower and lower. There's a tzara. Oh, we have a problem. A shofet presents himself. He's going to be our leader. He's going to save us. He's going to guide us. He's going to inspire us. And then the problem is solved. Shmuel comes along after, how many years was this? 400 years of this lifestyle. No, this cannot go on like this, where you go up and down, you go in these cycles and shift, and there has to be continuity. There has to be Malchus. The advantage of Malchus is stability. You're not going to go in these cycles, up and down. And to a very large degree, that's what the Malchus of at least the Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin was successful. And he explains, even though we know the different kubus, the worship of the Zara, they have the sukkim are super magnifying mind imperfections among certain groups of people. But B'derech Klal, the Malchus of Yehuda, was pretty consistent, was pretty straight with tzaddikim, and it accomplished something that we don't really appreciate. There was no longer this lifestyle of Ish HaYosha Be'ein of Yaseh. We have to understand the depth of what that means. This was Shmuel's accomplishment. When Shmuel gathered everyone to Mitzvah to offer a communal Karban Pesach, this was really what he was doing. He was changing their mindset. We're now going to change our lifestyle. We have a lifestyle of Ish HaYosha Be'ein of Yaseh to a lifestyle of a central authority of a melech. And there has to be law and order, and it's not Ish HaYosha Be'ein of Yaseh, and the king has to maintain, everyone follows the rules. So now along comes Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was equal to Shmuel in that now he's preparing Klal Yisrael for a new tekufa, a new lifestyle. And the new lifestyle is get used to the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is over. The Beis HaMikdash is nothing more than a shell. The Shechinah already, by and large, has departed. There's nothing. Chazal said that with his death, the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be charaf with his death. When he dies, we're going to learn a few psukim. The only reason why Hashem kept the Beis HaMikdash around for another 22 years was because they mourned. They had their cherets, they had respect for Yoshio. They mourned properly, so Hashem let the Mikdash last for another 22 years. But the Mikdash at this point, Huldah HaNeviah revealed to Yoshiyahu, the Mikdash is a shell. There's nothing here. The Shechina is gone. It's over. It's finished. Just get the people ready for what's coming. Galus the Churban that's coming to prepare them. That is what he is trying to do here. He's changing Klal Yisrael's attitude, their mindset. Just like Shmuel, the last person to make such a major change in people's approach to Yadus, what the purpose is, was Shmuel. Okay, it's a Jewish. That's not what Rashi says. That's certainly not the first shot. Rashi, Yachad, which Rashi rejects straight out. And not Rashi's second shot, which is a sponsored Korban Pesach. We're learning more like what the Radak says, that there was a Pesach like this at the time of Shmuel. And now Yoshua is equal in this change of attitude. Okay, this is...
Yeah. He means there wasn't such a thing from the day of Shmuel and David and Shlaima.
No, he's not saying David and Shlaima, he's saying Shmuel specifically. Shmuel, because Shmuel is the transition Shmuel is the transition between the Shoftim and the Malachim.
But he says Malchei Yisrael.
It's the start.
So the question is Malchei Yisrael, you can learn is Malchei that is split into Yisrael.
Well, that's Rashi's first shot. That's the problem. There are many different words which take us in different directions. That's why Rashi, in his first interpretation, is telling us...
Targum says, V'chol Malcha, the base Yisrael. Again, what does it mean, the base Yisrael?
The Malchus of...
The base Yisrael.
V'nase Pesach Kamo bi Yisrael, mime Shmuel Hanavi... Now, how do you read the next words? Now, is the word V'chol Malchei Yisrael lo yosu kepesach asher osa Yoshiyahu?
It means the priest of Yisrael didn't do it.
They didn't. That's really Rashi's first interpretation. Rashi's first interpretation focuses primarily on the words V'chol Malchei Yisrael lo yosu kepesach asher osa Yoshiyahu. They were split. They were not there. They were done in Be'er. They were not allowed. Yoram Nevada would kill anyone. He put sentries on the road. Anyone that would come would be killed. He can't go to the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, but why are we mentioning Shmuel? What does Shmuel and Navi have to do with this? What's Shmuel? So Rashi, according to Rashi, says that if you want to go learn like that interpretation of Yachad, of the Malchei Yisrael, then Shmuel doesn't make sense, because the time of Shmuel, they did have a one carbon Pesach. It was Yachad. There was no split. And not even...
Oh, okay.
So he's trying to... So Rashi says that Shmuel either means even the time of Shmuel, the sponsor, it was a public sponsoring of a carbon Pesach. So does that mean that Shmuel sponsored? Maybe, yeah, maybe not. But this is a different approach, a different idea.
It is, because Shmuel, the first king, was not a Melech Beis David. It was not Melech Yehuda.
So what? That's not an issue. That's that he was still Malchus. Shaul was a full-fledged Melech.
About Malchus, that the...
Shaul clearly had a status of a melech. He was anointed. He was, the people asked for a melech. He was a melech. He was al pi ruach hakodesh. Shaul was a melech. Shaul brought about that transition, and we're talking about a major transition in the essence of Klal Yisrael, from Shoftim to Malchus, and now from Malchus to no Malchus. What is Golus really all about? Golus is all about no Malchus. Think we're going back to the days of the Shoftim. What do we live today? We live in a world of Isha, Yoshev, and Aviase.
Right.
We don't have war because there's no Malchus.
Right.
Well, you have Rabbanim, we know that's not... that's not... No offense.
Everyone has Yichus. Today, the Yichus doesn't go to Rashi. It goes to David HaMelech. Look at all the genealogy sites. They're all facing the David
HaMelech. Okay, so this is... we're going backwards. Maybe that's really what it means. We're going backwards. So the Malchus is coming to an end. We know Zerubbabel, all the kings of the Bayesh Sheni, this is not real Malchus. They were puppet kings under the... Even the Chashmonaim was not legitimate. Chashmonaim was from Sheva Levi, not from Sheva Yehuda. So we're going now to a new Tkufa. We're going back to the time of Shmuel, pretty much. Isha Yoshe ben Aviase, and that's why we're making mention of this change. Okay, let's go further in the next Rashi. Rashi then goes on to say, Pasuk Chaf. Okay, we're up to the new Pasuk. Let's go to Pasuk Chaf. Now, Pasuk Yitzhak says, Pasuk Yitzhak is interesting, it's very strange that it repeats the Korban Pesach. After this whole long introduction for 18 psukim describing in very great detail the significance of the Korban Pesach, it says again, B'shmoinu Esher Shon L'malchus Yoshiyahu, Nasa Pesach Hazeh, just fills in on the date. It was 18 years into his Malchus. Yoshiyahu was king for 31 years. He was king for 31 years, and it was in the 18th year of his Malchus, this Pesach was done. This preparation for Klal Yisrael was made. Everyone got together. It was sponsored, and they came together. Now, Pasuk Chaf Acharei Chol Zos. Now, when is Acharei? Acharei with a Yud means many years later. How many is many years? 13 years later. We're going now from the 18th year.
There's Achar and Acharei. Achar
is Samuch.
Correct. Means soon after.
Acharei means
there's an interval.
Interval. So here there's an interval. This is taking place in the last year. It's about, now we're learning about his death, the end of his Malchus, which took place in his 31st year. So 31 minus 18 is
13.
So this is taking place 13 years later. 13 years later, the following, and that's why it says, Acharei Chol Zos. Asher Hechin Yoshiyahu Es Habayis. By the way, it's very interesting that the word Hechin appears here many, many times. An unusual amount. If you go to some computer search to see the word Hachana, you don't have such a intensity in the first 18 psukim of the word Hechin. Vatikon, the Hechin. The word Vatikon and the word Vehechin appears numerous times, which, according to the Mefarshim, is teaching us this is exactly what was his role. The role of Yoshio was to prepare. Evil times are coming. Difficult times are coming. Chulda HaNeviya revealed to Yoshiyahu, it's over. And the best you can do is prepare Klal Yisrael for the Golus. That's why every single thing that it says here, on a deeper level, is telling us that Yoshio is preparing Klal Yisrael for what's coming. So here again, Pasuk says again, Achol Zos, Asher Hechin Yoshio Sabayis, Olo Necho, Necho is Paro Necho. Necho means, comes from Nechei Raglayim. He was a cripple. He was lame. Why was he crippled? So there's a medrash. I don't know if this, and everyone agrees with this medrash, is that because he had in his possession the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech had built in anyone that's not...
Booby traps.
Booby traps. If you're not the real thing, you're going to get hurt. Had some type of all these mechanical devices. And when you try to ascend or sit on the throne, it detected that he was a fraud. And he became a cripple. He was injured on the throne, so he was called Necho Meloshon Nechei Raglayim. So Olo Necho. Here we don't give him covet. Here we just call him Necho. But this word Paro Necho Melech Mitzrayim, called Melech Mitzrayim. We don't call him Paro. Interesting that you change from Paro was the title of the king, or was it? I don't know if it was the king. The word Melech here is being used in reference to Necho, Lilochim, in Sefer Melochim, it calls him Paro Necho. Here it calls him Melech Mitzrayim. Lilochim Bechar Kemish Al Peros. He wanted to wage a war against the king of Ashur in the city of Karkemish, which was opposite the Euphrates. Now, our Karkemish is up north. It's on the northern side, the north. East side of Eretz Yisrael. Egypt is the southwest. So if you want to go to Karkemish, I'm not exactly sure the geography, you want to go from the southwest to the northeast, instead of walking around going down in the desert, in the hot desert of Saudi Arabia, you don't want to go there. It's there's no water for your men. It's much easier to travel through Eretz Yisrael, to go through their land. That way you'll have food, you'll have water, the climate is okay. That's what he wanted to do. Problem is, Yoshiyahu, he looked in the Torah, and the Torah says, V'cherev loisavor bi'artzchem, that the time of Baracha, when Klal Yisrael is oisim ritzon shel makom, a sword will not pass through your land, which Chazal darsh, na'afilu cherev shel shalom. Even though they're not coming to wage war with you, they just want to pass over your airspace, that was also not be allowed. So he... He got a message from Pemelech Ashur, and he said, I want to pass through your land. I'm not coming to make a war with you. I'm just coming to go to fight my battle in Karkemish. It seems that this Karkemish used to be the property of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim colonized Karkemish years before. Yes, Egypt. Egypt had colonies, where they paid tribute. It was conquered years before, and now they rebelled. And now Melech Ashur took back Karkemish from the king of Mitzrayim. So Mitzrayim was upset. He lost as a source of revenue. A stream of revenue has been cut off. So he wanted to wage war against this satellite city and take it back. and he wanted to pass through Eretz Yisrael. He sent a message to Yoshio. Yoshio said, "Don't you dare." He said, "I'm coming anyway," and Yoshio went to prevent him from coming through the land with his army. Vayishlach elav malachim lemar. The Paro Nechos sent messengers to Yoshio saying, "Malivolach melech Yehuda. What is it? We have nothing. We have no conflict. Don't make trouble with me. What is there between me and you, King of Yehuda? Loy alecha ato hayom. I'm not coming to make trouble for you. I give you my word. I will pass through your land. I'm not going to attack. I'm not going to spy. I'm not going to make trouble. I just need to pass through. Ki el beis milchamti. I'm only going to wage war in my battlefield of Karkamish." Now here we have a very difficult pasuk. Ve'elokim omar livahaleni. Livahaleni means quick. My God said, "I shall act swiftly. Time is of the essence. I need to go now." Now is the word elok. Now let's read a few words. Chadalucha. Cease. Go back. Don't prevent me. Return. Retreat. May Elokim asher me, because God, from the God that is with me, retreat from coming to wage war against me, because you're not just waging war against me, you're waging war against the God that is with me. The al yashri secha, and if you prevent me from, you attempt to prevent me from passing, I will have no choice but to destroy you. So don't cause me, do the al yashri secha. I don't want to spill your blood. I don't want to destroy you. So therefore, it will be in your best interest to retreat. Now the big question is, when it says here the word Elohim twice in this pasuk, is this referring to Hashem or is it referring to Avodah Zarah? So one interpretation is that it refers to Avodah Zarah, that Paro Nucho is warning Yoshiyahu that I have my own gods, I have my own deities, and that my gods have spoken to me or have sent me simonim that I shall quickly wage war against Melech Asher and Karkamish, and you're getting in trouble. You're not just making trouble for me, you're making trouble against my God. So obviously when Yoshio hears that it becomes a religious war. So according to this interpretation, Elohim is not Kodesh, it is Chol. It's a reference to an idol. And he's trying to invoke the power of his idol to prevent Yoshiyahu from preventing him from passing. That is one interpretation of the Gemara Masechta Tainis. But there's another interpretation. That's really what the interpretation, the second interpretation is what most of us on the page pick up on, and that Elohim refers to Hashem, Melech Malchei Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elohim, and meaning that I have received a report from your own prophets, from Yirmiyahu, none other than Yirmiyahu. I consulted with him, and Yirmiyahu told me that Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is on my side. He wants me to attack Melech Ashur, to wage this battle, and there's a condition attached. I'll only succeed if I make my move now. Time is of the essence. So he's telling him, Hashem told me to do this. What are you interfering with your own God's divine plan? So that's the question. Is Elohim Chol or Elohim Kodesh? Yeah?
If this Elohim is Kodesh Chol, what do you do?
When you read it, you have to be Machmir. You have to say Elohim. You have to say when you write it, you have to say, let's say it's very big shah, when they write it, the sefer writes this. So, well, we don't really write Divrei Hayom. We have Divrei Hayom written in cloth. I don't know, do we? Is such a thing today? No, Nevi'im, but not Ksuvim. Not Ksuvim. I don't know, it's probably very hard, doesn't it? It's very hard to find Ksuvim, Divrei Hayom on cloth. Tell them they write. Go to the Kosel, right in the cave, they have a nice, in a glass case, beautiful, a beautiful Tehillim you can read from the cloth. It's such an Indian, I don't know, I guess so. To read Tehillim from a cloth, so I guess it doesn't hurt to read Tehillim from a cloth. But have you ever seen a Divrei Hayom on cloth? I've never seen. I don't know if such thing exists. Maybe it does.
It must have been sometime before Gutenberg.
What do you mean? I mean, then they only have.
Yeah.
Then the only Anaklah, but was it written with the Kedusha status? Kedusha status? So why would you need it? Why would it ever be done? It's one thing you go write a book, you just write out the psukim like on a piece of paper, you write in a cloth. But to write it with the Hilchot Stam, to write the Diktuk with all the...
Even the Nevi'im write the Hilchot Stam.
No, they do. Nevi'im they do, because you learn from it, so they do write. Once they're writing the Nevi'im, all the Nevi'im today, the Sefer writes, it gives it all he got. He writes it...
Every time he writes
Shem Hashem. Yeah, sure. Nevi'im? Absolutely. They couldn't sell it. You couldn't sell if you wouldn't go to mikvah. Just like a Sefer Torah. Absolutely. I don't know if it's ma'akev.
It's ma'akev. I'm
making an assumption. Maybe you're right. But I'm making an assumption that the Sefer who are writing Nevi'im, they're writing Hashem's name, L'shem Kedushas Hashem, and they're going to mikvah. I'm assuming that...
I'm leading up to a question.
Yeah.
Let's say you have a guy, right, say... Tyrus,
yeah.
The
okay.
He doesn't have a zidon
of yeah. Well, there's no such thing as Kitaris on Klaf. We know
he
that.
He writes a Shema Yisrael.
Yeah. It's a mezuzah. It's possible.
A
mezuzah for sure is possible.
Is it kedusha of Shem Hashem or not? Is that
kedusha? Well, you have to ask him. So
the whole same thing. He came to go.
Well, yeah, this is in Chumash also. Yeah, this is in Chumash also. There are numerous words in Chumash where there's, not numerous, there are a couple of words in Chumash where there's a suffix, is it Kodesh or is it Chol? So the Seifim have to write it L'chumra. You have to, on the assumption it's Kodesh, it's Shulchan Aruch, all the different Shilas. So L'chor, this is no different than the Shemos in Chumash which have Seikis if it's Kodesh or Chol. They two the Gemara, this Mamash Gemara. It's a Gemara that says Machlek is a Kodesh Shachol. What was he trying? The question of it really is Kodesh, how then can Yoshio the Tzaddik? Okay, Yoshio, there's no one like Yoshio, so how could Yoshio the Tzaddik go and say Teretz is? He didn't know. He did not know that, he didn't believe him. He did not believe that he's telling him that Yirmiyahu told me I should go fight. And it seems like Yoshio was not aware. He was not aware. He did not believe. Parunucho, the question is better than the answer. Told him, in the name of Hashem, I'm supposed to go fight. So don't go and make trouble. Well, some learned that it's not Yirmiyahu. It was a question of Yeshaya. Yeshaya died already a long time ago. Menashe murdered his own grandfather. Yeshaya was 120 years old when he died. It was like Moshe. Yeshaya was... You know, like they want to talk to Gulim, was like a Gilgul of Moshe. There was the Yeshaya and Moshe Rabbeinu were a team. But Yeshaya died, and Rashi quotes the pasuk was Sachsech Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. There was an allusion to this Mulchama in Sefer Yeshaya. It could very well be a subject to interpretation. And I guess Par Necho was a Talmud Chacham. I can say that. Was a Lamdan. He had Yeshaya, and he interpreted the Nevu of Yeshaya as a reference that he should indeed go fight this war. And he's telling this to Yoshio in the name of Yeshaya. The name of Yeshaya is it's really his great-grandfather. Right, Yeshaya is the great-great-grandfather of Yoshio, because Yoshio's father was Amon, whose father was Menashe, and Menashe was the grandson of Yeshaya. So he's saying, this was already predicted that I should fight. It could be that Yoshio said, yeah, I'm Aretz, you go, you don't know how to learn. You're reading a pasuk in Yeshaya, and you're telling me what my grandfather really meant. But the truth was, it could be he was right. Par Necho was right in this interpretation.
And, I like what he says, I have to add analogies. You have the machlokes of Lubavitcher and the Zafar.
Yeah. About what?
It says that the Holocaust was the Sitra, the Midrash Israel.
The Satma, okay, that's Satma. Yeah, yeah.
And Lubavitcher says, no, Hashem did it. You know, you can't find that Hashem did it.
Right.
Satma says, no, the Sitra Acha did it.
Okay, yeah.
So there's no Kedusha.
What does it have to do with this? Okay.
Historically, the Egyptians always felt that the northern part of, in other words, they had a right to go. They went as far as throughout history to Megiddo.
Egypt.
Egypt went.
And Eretz Yisrael also?
This is in Eretz Yisrael. They went and they would travel. They built roads in Eretz Yisrael up the western coast.
Really?
The coastline. Their armies always marched through the centuries till Megiddo, when they had Egypt, the kingdoms of Egypt.
But this was
the pharaohs felt they had a right to go as far as Megiddo to protect their own land. They always drove, they stopped at Megiddo, and they built a lot of temples in Megiddo to worship their idols over there. That's where they had.
But there was another road on the east.
Some
road,
built by Ramses, that was still there.
They went through Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but they went, well, it was on the west coast. They went up till Megiddo. That was as far north as they went. Beyond that, they didn't want to go. Also, the Onkelos says Paro.
Here, he is repar. I know, I saw that, right. He is repar. Okay. So let's go further over here. So what happened? Pasuk basically didn't listen. Yoshiyahu did not listen to the demands of Paro Necho. V'loi heisev, he did not turn back. Yoshiyahu panav mimenu. Ki lilochimbo hischapes. Hischapes means he changed his clothing to armor. He put on battle gear. He changed his royal garments to battle gear. He disguised himself in battle, not disguised, but he dressed himself in battle gear to fight. He did not listen to Necho from the mouth of Elohim. Either again means Kodesh Echol, that he's telling him in the name of his deity, or means his interpretation of the prophecy of Yeshaya, or from his consultation with Yirmiyahu. They went to fight the Bikas. The battle took place in the valley of Megiddo. The Bikas Megiddo. What happened? It was tragic. Vayoyru hayoyrim lamelech Yoshiyahu, and the archers shot arrows into the king of Yoshiyahu, who was injured. Vayomer hamelech lavodav haviruni ki hocholesi meod. Remove me. Take me into the other chariot. Bring me to the ambulance. There were different chariots. There was a chariot which he actually fought the battle, and then there was a backup chariot where he went to hide. Take me from the battle chariot to the other chariot where, I guess, it's an armored vehicle where I can be protected. I have more room because hocholesi meod. I am very ill. I feel ill. Why did he feel ill? Because he was injured. Chazal say 300 arrows perforated his body. Vayaviru avodav min hamerkava. They transferred him from the chariot. Vayarkivu al rechav hamishna, and they rode him on the second chariot. Okay, that's the chariot hamishna. That's the backup chariot. Ashelo vayolichu Yerushalayim. They brought him back to Yerushalayim. Vayamos, and he died. Vayikover bekivos avosav. He was buried in the graves of his forefathers in some sepulcher that was miyuchad for the king. V'chol Yehudu Yerushalayim misavlum al Yoshiyahu. And this was a very great credit. You don't have this with other kings. This is a very great credit to Klal Yisrael. All the kings, as they died, and doesn't report that they mourned. They didn't really appreciate who the king was. It seems that Yoshiyahu, in his 22 years as Melech, he made an impression. He made a mark on the people. He made a mark on the people where they listened, that they prepared themselves for what was coming, and they mourned upon him. And this HaKadosh Baruch Hu viewed as a very great merit to Klal Yisrael. And Chazal say, we know the eulogy that we're going to see now of Yirmiyahu is the fourth perek in Sefer Eicha. Eicha was composed by Yirmiyahu, and part of Eicha he included his eulogy. Eicha Yuam Kesem Hapoz. Is that what it says? It begins, how could it be dark in this beautiful gold? It's the entire paragraph is a reference to Yoshiyahu. And becomes the kina. So that kina was written with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. This is Chazal. There are 22 letters, 22 psukim, 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. And in reward for mourning, eulogizing Klal Yisrael Yoshiyahu with the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, Hashem extended the Bayis Sheni for an additional 22 years. Okay, pasuk chav hey. Vayikoinen Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu vayomu kol asorim kol hasharim vehasharos. All of the male singers and the female singers. See, today you'll be putting chayim for this, but in those days it wasn't the kolishus. I have to have all the
mixed it with the men, so it was
mixed with the men. I guess so, or maybe
it's also mourning. It's not mourning, right?
That's a dangerous statement what you've just said, because Chazal, what is the makar? What is the makar for having a mechitz in the Beis HaKnesses? What's the makar? Not a mechitz. I shouldn't say a mechitz. Having a separation. Separation. From where?
From Chana's prayer.
No, maybe earlier also, no, but
prayed in one corner.
Right, is the eulogy of the Yetzer Hara. Chazal Darshan the Pasik, that La'asilavo. La'asilavo, it's, I don't remember the Pasik, that when Mashiach will come, then we will slaughter the Yetzer Hara. And everyone is going to cry. There's going to be a eulogy. And the men are going to be, it says in the Pasuk, on one place, and the women are going to be seven. Men are going to mourn separately, because now that we don't have a Yetzer Hara, we don't have reward. The reward we receive in this world is for overcoming the Yetzar. So when the Yetzar has been taken away from us, we don't have the ability to serve Hashem by overcoming the Yetzar. So men are going to mourn and women are going to mourn. So the question is, but if there's no Yetzahara, why can't the men and women mourn together? So here we learn that even though it's a time of mourning, mourning is not a time when people are thinking about doing Averos. And even though the Yetzar has been taken from us, yet the Pasuk says men separate and women separate, Alachas Kam V'Kama, today when we have a Yetzahara, we also have, and it's not a time of mourning, men and women have to be separate. How separate do they have to be? Do you need a mechitza? Do you need, how high is the mechitza? That's a separate issue. But men and women are separate. Yeah. Bineihem.
Yeah, but not
at this point in time. Now when the Yetzar has been slaughtered, there's no Yetzar being Merakid Bineihem. Okay, whatever it is. But over here, we have over here, it's their mourning.
Didn't the Mechitza start at the Bayis Shreini?
By the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, balcony. They were, at first they were separate, inside, outside, outside, inside. Then they made a Tikkun Gadol. Tikkun Gadol, they made this drasha. They made a Tikkun Gadol, they made the women were upstairs and the men were downstairs. There was no real Mechitza, so they were on a different level. They were on a different level. So men couldn't see them, they'd pick up their head. But who would dare pick up your head to go look at the women? You have to, if you look straight, you can't see the women. The only way you can see the women is you pick up your head. Who's going to go pick up their head? It's one thing if you're sitting next to a woman, so you see right in front of you. So that's the makar for a mechitza.
What were they singing? They weren't singing, entertaining songs. They were singing sad songs.
Sad, they were singing together. If you want to get some, the topic of mechitza is an amazing topic. I just listened to a series of shiurim from Rabbi Stephen Przanski. He has some fantastic, the history of Mechitza in America. They have their books, their svarim and books, controversies and court cases, and really, really is good stuff. You want to go to yutorah.org and type in Rabbi Stephen Przanski, and he has the Great Decisions, his latest series, the Great Decisions, and he has there at least two lectures packed, jam-packed with incredible information about mechitza, halachic, mashkafa, many cases, all different stories. And one thing he says is very interesting. He says that at the end of the day, this really is the trademark of orthodoxy. How do you differentiate orthodoxy and a conservative? This has become, to a very large, other things have blurred. There are a lot of things are very blurred, but this is something which really Ad Hayom stands out. And it's a recent phenomenon because years ago, until it became the official policy of conservative Judaism, it was blurred because there were many Orthodox shuls that did not have a mechitza. Go back 60 years ago, 50 years ago, but not today. Some yes, some not. Some yes, some not. Some have different sections. I think he says that today there's one. There's the National Council of Young Israel. They have about 100, over 100 shuls. I don't remember the exact numbers. So the National Council is very high standards. If you want to become part of the young, you want to be a young Israel. They have very strict standards. The OU also has a network of shuls.
Like about 1,000.
The standards of the OU are much more relaxed than the standards.
Non-existent, actually.
Anymore.
Well, they're right. No,
their standards are very.
OU shul,
right. There is a network of OU shuls. The standards to get into the OU, you don't need to do a lot less than you need to get into the.
Israel doesn't like to have women on the video.
That's a new thing, that's not so simple. That's a controversial thing.
It's very controversial, but that's their policy.
It still is the policy? It still is? Many shuls violate that. Many shuls blatantly violate that rule. Young Israels.
That was the beginning of the problem.
And there are also, they're not allowed to make appeals.
You know,
and there are young Israels that make it, I mean, not allowed to give mishaberachs for money. Okay, there are a lot of rules. There are rules, and there are things which people don't. But the OU, he claims, there is still one shul that is an OU shul that's been grandfathered in from years ago that does not have a mechitza. He didn't say the name of the shul.
Really?
He didn't say the name of the shul.
Or they don't sit together, but they don't have a mechitza.
I don't know. I know, but okay. But here we're going way off the topic. Let us finish up. Over here it says we have the shorim v'hasharos. The male singers and the female singers. Do they sing together? Do the men sing for the men? The women sing for the women? Do the men sing for both? We don't know. All of these things are very, very mysterious and they're lost from us. But one thing we know for sure is that there were male singers and there were female singers. Bikinoi Sehem al Yoshiyahu Arayom. They eulogized, they sang, they brought forth expressions. Ad Hayom, until today, Vayitnum L'chok Al Yisrael, and they established this as a law. Okay, we're running out of time, just finish with one var, L'chok, and we have to finish the Mitzvahs in the Rashi tomorrow, Al Yisrael, V'hinam K'suvim Al-Akinos, and it's written, and it's K'suvim. The eulogies are written among the kinos. This can be one of many things. Either it means in Sefer Eicha, which was composed by Yirmiyahu, Vayekoinin Yirmiyahu Yoshiyahu, or, as we said in this pasuk, or it means there's another book. It's not necessarily referring to Sefer, it's referring to of Yirmiyahu. Is it right? It was some type of book. Now, if you do learn that this refers to Sefer Eicha, then we readily understand that this, that the Iker Kinois of Tisha B'Av, but not the Kinois that we say from Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, it's Eicha. And interesting, some people have a minhag, it's becoming more prevalent today, that on Tisha B'Av by day, they say Eicha. They say Eicha by day. You see that in some people even say by, well, from Klaf, you don't make a bracha, you make a bracha at night. At night they say you say Eicha, but since the main kinas that we say by day are from, you know, the piyutim, Elazar HaKalir, so, but if the real Sefer HaKinas, the ultimate Sefer HaKinas is what it says here in this pasuk, it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, is Sefer Eicha, l'chore, that should be, at least, that should be the starting point of what we recite on Tisha B'Av. But it's not the minig. It's not a requirement, because some people today they do it. And the other things of the words of Yeshua and his kind deeds, kakosuv b'seras Hashem, are written in the Torah of Hashem. Now, what exactly does that mean? Kakosuv. It's not. Look at the Rashi v'chasidav ha'chasadim she'asa. Asher Asa Kakosov B'Torah, the Chassidim that is written in the Torah. Now, I'm not exactly what that means. It could be Kakosov B'Torah Hashem refers to Sefer Melachim. It's an unusual way of describing. That's how Rashi seems to learn his other good deeds that can be found in the Torah Hashem. Torah Hashem is a general description of the Torah. The Torah, in the most general sense, includes Nevi'im as well. Sefer Nevi'im, including Sefer Melachim, where it says there as well everything that we learned in Tevet Vayom, about the Karim Pesach, and about how we moved the Avodah Zarah, and we inspired Klal Yisrael to prepare them for the Golus. They can be found there. Udvarav Harishonim V'Ha'acharonim, his first deeds and his later deeds, or what we understood in real time, and what we understand about him in retrospect. Hinam Kisuv Mal Sefer Malchei Yisrael V'Yehuda, they can be found in the Chronicles of the Kings of Yisrael and Yehuda. Okay, we're going to do the Mitzudos and Rashi tomorrow, but I wanted to make one Vard, because this just came to me because we discussed yesterday Ashrei. There's a very unusual expression here. We learned yesterday about Ashrei, there, every single pasuk has a vav that connects the beginning of the pasuk to the end of the pasuk, with two exceptions. The two exceptions are Chanun v'rachum Hashem, Erech apayim v'gudol chosed, Ches, the letter Ches of the Ashrei, and the letter Kuf of the Ashrei, Karoi v'Hashem l'chol, Karov l'chol Asher yiku v'emes. Those are the only two which are missing a vav between the beginning and the end. They stand out. Ashrei Chazal is the ultimate Shira. There's a vav. The vav connects the beginning to the end. So we discussed yesterday one vav, why dafka the ches, why those two psukim ches and kuf, because ches and kuf spell chok, and chok is something which there is no vav. Vav is a letter which is a holy letter which connects us to Hashem. When it comes to chukim, it's we're on our own. The umos, the olam, and the yetzahar attacks us. Why do you observe these strange mitzvos which have no reason, called chukim? So it's a more difficult mitzvah. We need to come on to a stronger degree of emunah. We can't give them a reason. That's why they stand out in Ashrei. However, it just came to mind that we'll read Rashi tomorrow, that Shira and Akina are really one and the same. They're just two different ends of the cycle, two different expressions of extreme emotion. There's song, and then there is eulogies, or there's laments. And Ashrei, we learned, represents the ultimate shira in this world. Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'Secho, Od Yehaleluchah Selah. Someone who says Ashrei every single day, three times a day, the same way he says shira in this world, he will merit to sing shira in the next world. He'll sing Ashrei in the next world. Our Ashrei in this world is incomplete. Why is it incomplete? Because of all of the tzaras. How are tzaras defined? Now, when we read the Rashi tomorrow, it's defined here as a chok. It's a borrowed term. Chok in the Torah means a law. But read the pasuk again. Look at the pasuk. The pasuk again says they have an established vayitnum lechok al Yisrael. Every time we mourn over a tragedy, we also have to include in our mourning the tragedy of the death of Yoshiyahu. Because with Yoshiyahu's death, that really was the end of the Beis HaMikdash. That was the real Gemar. His death was really the beginning of the Chorban. It's been a chok. Vayitnum l'chok al Yisrael. And Rashi gives another example where the same pasuk is said, same expression by the daughter of Yiftach. When Yiftach came back to battle, he said that the first thing which comes out of my door, I'm going to offer as a korban. Who came out of the bayis? His daughter. So his daughter, what happened to her? It's not exactly clear. Either he actually offered her as a sacrifice, or she never got married and she was locked up. And her friends would mourn over her yearly, every so often. And also the mourning was described as a chok. That pasuk, we'll see in Rashi, was also a chok. So you see here from this pasuk and from Yiftach, chok represents this concept of mourning, terrible tragedy, mourning and suffering. In our Shira of Asher, which represents the ultimate Shira, it's interesting to note that there are two psukim which stand out. Ches and Kuf, which is chok, which indicates that the song that we sing in this world is incomplete, because since we suffer, there's golos and there's tzaris in this world, we cannot possibly express Shira to the full degree, because there is suffering. So there's a remez to this, that the ches and the kuf, those two psukim, there's something lacking. There's something that's not symmetrical. It's not consistent. Why? We're singing shira, but we have to remember this chok. Vayidnum l'chok ad hayom hazeh al Yisrael, the tzaris of the Chor Beis HaMikdash, of Yirmiyahu, and other terrible things which have happened. I think there's something in the case. So we'll pick this up tomorrow. We'll go over this. These mitzvahs.